What a great God that we serve, and such a rich time. Good morning, church family. Grateful to God to be with you today, and let's take a moment, and it was mentioned earlier, to pray for the folks who are experiencing Helene, the thunderstorm that rolled through, and people dealing with those devastated effects. And I love our dear brother David. You mentioned you started a nail. I'm going to drive it in. Pure religion in the sight of God is to visit orphans and widows in their distress. And Jesus takes it personal when we take time to minister to the least of these. And yes, we have opportunity here. I'm not trying to guilt you, but if you're fired up as our brother is, and you have time, you can take time out from watching sports or soap operas or video games. You know, I'm not going to put that. There are people who will desperately appreciate you showing the love of God to them. So let's pray for them too. Father, thank you for being the good God that you are. And it's hard at times when we live in a day where tragedies strike, of sometimes things well beyond our control, but they're not beyond yours. So we ask you to visit your people who are trying to rebuild after the storm. Some have fled from it, but you, Jesus, who walked on water, you who said peace to the storm, were able to speak peace to our hearts and minds. We ask you that you would do that in a powerful way for the people there, save, rescue lives, restore. And then here in Ventura, at this precious community where there are young women, young mothers, young families, some are who are fleeing from the troubles of a wounded life. Would you speak to that storm too? Save souls, restore lives, do something beautiful so that when people see what you've done in their life, only you will get all the glory. And if you be pleased, use us to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I'm glad to be with you today, and I'm really excited about our time in this study. We're going to be headed to Ruth chapter 1 in a moment, Decisions in the Dark. One of the things I really appreciate about CBC is you're doing life together, and to hear about our sisters in Christ having a good time on a retreat, being refreshed. Worship very much is about our relationship with the Lord. There's the vertical, but we can also worship with how we relate to the people that he loves, each other. And I submit to you, it's not an either or, it's a both and. In fact, the Bible says, how can you say you love God who you don't see when you don't love your brother who you do see? So we have an opportunity to grow in that. And so it's thrilling to see this church striving to do that. And you have the vision before you about following Jesus, making disciples, impacting the world. That's a powerful mission. And just bear with me. I know we're going to get there in a moment in Ruth 1. There are oftentimes people are in the midst of desperate situations and who really want to know, is God real? Is this Jesus that you're talking about real? And we have this wonderful privilege to experience him for ourselves. And sometimes trials is actually a gift, because when you go through a hard time or something that could completely decimate you and yet God upholds you, you look back and you say, that was the Lord. And you can tell someone that Jesus is real because you know him for yourself. When I first got saved, or when the Lord saved me, say properly, we used to do some community service projects just south of Philadelphia. And a friend of mine named Richard Rogers, he's a school principal now. It's hard to imagine. We were like 18, 19. We used to collect canned food on our campus and then deliver it to the women's shelter. And they had a shelter, and they also had homes that were in the community. They weren't advertised because some of the ladies and their children were being spirited away from abuse. And I will never forget this, that one time, about maybe 1920, me and Rich had a big old box of foods, and you know, if you know me, I like to have a good time. We're cutting up, laughing, and we're not dressed too well. We're just young college kids. And we show up at this house, and when the door opened, there was a room full of mothers and kids all playing on the floor, and we were bringing this big old thing of food, and we're real happy. And it struck me in different ways, and not to be melodramatic, but just to drive home. I'm in Jesus, and we'll drive. You gave me my orders, David, so we're going to drive this home. When we first entered the door, and I'm every bit of 6'5", and the look on the women's faces when they first saw us was utter fear. And again, we're just having a ball. We're thinking like it's Christmas, giving this gift. But the first reaction was, did my ex-boyfriend find me? Did my abuser find me? And I'm not saying this anything negative about them, but this was the state in which they were in. And this is over 30 years ago, and I still remember this to this day. And to have the privilege to be able to give them something little as food, and to be there, let them know we're going to pray for you and we're going to be there for you. Now, believe it or not, over 100 pounds ago, I used to teach swimming. I was a lifeguard in New Jersey, and Rich was too. And so he and I got together. We said, hey, what can we do to help out these young ladies and their kids? And a couple of buddies of ours, we started hosting a swim day on our campus, and we would give the kids free swimming. That was our way to lighten the load for these moms who were in this desperate situation. I got more out of that than they did. I'm talking about Jesus, y'all. Why not? What a good God we serve. Let's go to the Word. We're in a series in the Book of Ruth, and by the way, this is probably my favorite book in the whole Bible. And if you know the story, it's set in the context during the time of the judges. And the book of Ruth is a picture, as you see on the slide, trusting God's providence. And the providence of God is that God cares for his own. And God is so good, he cares for the just and the unjust. God, who is he's the ruler, creator, sustainer of all things, sets things in motion, and that whether we see his hand or not, he is still very much in control. Book of Ruth is really a picture of the faithfulness of God. And it reminded the Israelites of really the origins as they were coming up out of Egypt and out of the wilderness wanderings in the desert into a land that was promised to them, and how God was raising up really one of the premier leaders of them, which would be David. David is mentioned at the end of the book of Ruth. Let me also say this. God shows himself in this book without saying his name quite often. You only see his name directly mentioned, God, maybe twice in the whole book. In the first chapter and in the last chapter. And yet you see God in his hand. He's ordering things. He's orchestrating things. And there's three main characters in this narrative. And what we're doing now, bear with me, we're just looking at an overview because the Bible has poetry, it has laws, it has letters, but it has stories and narratives. And it's good to know who the characters are. And so, namely, you're going to see Ruth, a Moabite woman from a pagan nation who God works in her life. You'll see Naomi, a woman who suffers tremendous loss, yet she is faithful to God to get beyond her bitterness. And then you also see a good man named Boaz, who represents the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. In the story, you're going to see those three. You'll see the people, and you'll see some references to deceased family members. But the main hero of the whole story is God himself. the one who's behind it all and who's doing it all. Follow with me, beginning at Ruth 1, and we're going to just read down through the scripture, and then if you take notes, I'll give you some headings. Ruth 1, verse 1. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-laws that she might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." And they lifted up their voices and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Watch this, verse 15. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Verse 19. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. The woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Verse 22, say, Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. God's word. If you're one that takes notes and would like to follow along, as we walk through this narrative, we're reading the scriptures and praying to look at what God has said. We're striving not to truck in our own ideas, our own thoughts, and plaster them over the scriptures, but we're looking at what he has said and done in the life of his people. And so just some observations of the text, and prayerfully may the Spirit give you application of how to live this out. First point I want to share is purpose and pain. Second, selflessness over selfishness. Let me say that again. Second, selflessness over selfishness. Third, faith over fear. Faith over fear. And fourth, sovereign over circumstances. Sovereign over circumstances. First, purpose in pain. As you heard me read from this text of Scripture, this event in the life of God's people occurs during the book of Judges. And if you read the book of Judges, and if you're here during this series, the book of Judges is a really tough time in the history of Israel. If you like Westerns like I do, I think of titles like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I think of, you know, was it the guys run into the town and they fight off all the outlaws and so forth? It is a wild time, namely because there was no king in Israel and everyone did what they wanted. That's the refrain in Judges. So you have a very dangerous time, a volatile time, and essentially God's people lost their mind. They got into that land and turned their back on God. And when people turn their back on God and his word and then default to their own word and their own thoughts, then you have chaos. Now, if you're praying, can you relate to that in 2024? So this is the context in which the beautiful story of Ruth takes place, because amidst that dark canvas, the bright light of God is still shining. He is still faithful, and he's working through the lives of people who are enduring difficult times. There are some lessons here for us. God even has purpose in the midst of our pain. We start off in the first verses, there's a famine in the land, and there was a certain man from Bethlehem, land of Judah, has two sons, a wife, and his name is Elimelech. Now, it's interesting, if you like studying, and I have to watch the time because I could easily geek out, the name Elimelech means God is my king. That's what Elimelech means. Elimelech. God, Eli, Melech, king. And that's his name. But interestingly, when the famine hits Israel, this man whose name is God is my king decides to take his family and move over into a pagan nation. Now, nowhere in this story does it tell us that God told him to go there. Nowhere in the story are we told that he was prevented from this. I put this before you because when the tragedy of famine struck, they were without food, because when you have famine, usually there's a drought, livestock and all these things start to die off. So now you have a situation that's painful. And I submit to you that sometimes the decisions that we make in the midst of difficult situations can go from bad to worse. So God is king, moves his family into the land of Moab. And if you read the law, the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, God loved all the nations and promised through Abraham to bless them, but he called his children out from those nations to be a holy people. So somewhere in the thinking of Elimelech to go get maybe what he couldn't get at home, he decides to move his people into a foreign land, and there he dies. And having lost loved ones in the last 2 years and having experienced it personally, that can be a painful time. And so Naomi loses her husband in Moab. But then her sons go and marry two Moabite women. And if you read the Old Testament law, the Israelites were not to do that. Now God gave his word so that pagan nations, people that repented and came to the God of Israel, which you'll see later in the story of Ruth and what I read this morning, your people, my God, there were still opportunities for those who were far off to still come to God, but generally the Israelites were to be separate. I hope I'm clear on that. So what you see on Mahlon and Chilion is they're actually going against the stated law of God. So, one, their father moves them into a pagan land, and two, the sons decide to live in among the pagan people and take pagan wives. And these two sons die. Dr. J. Vernon McGee says they may have been sickly boys, and one cold winter took them out. So now, Naomi is bereft of her husband, and bereft of her sons. This is a painful experience. And at the risk of stating the obvious, when we go through tough and painful times, sometimes those times can tempt us to become bitter or to think that God is not involved. So she is in a tough state. And to make matters worse, not just to mention the loss of husband and sons, but this is before many of the social systems that we have today, like Social Security or retirement funds or anything like that. The wife was often dependent on the welfare of her husband and also the children in her old age. So Naomi is in a tough spot. And it could be possible for her to starve and to be completely, utterly alone. This is the state that she's in. Yet God had a purpose even in that pain. You heard that she had been there for 10 years. And during that 10 years, somehow, some way, God used Naomi, possibly her husband and sons, that she was to have an impact on the lives of her daughters. You notice how she speaks to them. And she is speaking to them in such a way that she is seeking the best for them. And God actually had a wonderful, wonderful plan to bring about his Messiah through the birth line of Ruth. If you go over to the book of Ruth and you'll see the 32 generations, you'll find Ruth's name there. You'll find that she would be a part of the lineage of the Messiah himself. Look at God. That God can take the foolishness of men and turn it around to display the wisdom of God. She was a part of the plan of God. And here it is that this greater, deeper purpose would unfold and she would be a part of it. Now, having said that, it's also sobering to see that sometimes people can fall short of that by turning away from him. You read the scripture with me. They both hugged Naomi. They both expressed sorrow with Naomi. Naomi gives them the opportunity to turn back to their people and to their old ways, unfortunately. And Orpah does that. Orpah gives her a kiss goodbye. And that's the last we see of Orpah, which leads to my second point, selflessness over selfishness. Naomi paints the picture. I can't have any more sons, daughters. I can't, if I could get married tonight, would you wait that long? She's thinking it all the way through, and she is so much of a selfless person. I want it to be best for you. Things are going wrong for me. Now, she's speaking from some place of sadness and bitterness, and understandably, but in the midst of that, she is being selfless. Go get married. Go on, go back. And the response of Orpah, and I'll talk about her for a little bit, is, see you later. I'm out of here. Deuces. And that brings to this thing of selfishness in this day. I'm not trying to beat up on Orpah so much, but you can live your life in such a way that you're at the center of your decisions. What's in it for me? And Orpah makes the seemingly logical decision. Well, now that you say it the way you said it, Naomi, when I think about it, yeah, it actually would be better for me. And she kisses her and walks away. May I encourage you this morning? Let's invite God into those spaces when we have to make decisions in the dark, where it's not clear how it's going to turn out. We don't know what's around the corner, but doing what is right and doing our Christian duty before God, even when it's difficult. Maybe Ruth learned that the law of God says, honor your father and your mother. That was in the Old Testament times. Maybe she learned about this great God who is the creator. And maybe somewhere along the way, over those 10 years, she looked and saw Ruth's godly example and said, no, I'm not leaving. Where you go, I'm going to go. Where you live, I'm going to live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Look at God and Ruth. Ruth left the Moabite God and all the evils that they were, and I could go long into them. The Moabites practiced child sacrifice. They had all kinds of deities and religion. She found the true and living God, and Naomi was an instrument of that. She said, I want to go with you. And may God, and then she goes even further. May God do even more to me if I don't do that. Ruth was faithful in responding to Naomi. Naomi was faithful in looking out for their best interest, even at the possible harm of herself. And God was faithful to us to bring about his divine purpose for salvation for you and me. We receive Christ because he came into this world and God worked through this family. May I ask you, can God count on you to serve him when it's hard? Can God look to you to know that you will be selfless when you have all the opportunity and reasons to go for yours? Use some Jersey speak here. Can he trust you to faithfully serve him even when you're in pain, or will you turn your back and do what's practical? I submit to you, not trying to beat up on you this morning, we often have functional atheists that discount God. Let's not be like that. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve here, that even though we may not see the direct outcome, serve the Lord anyway. Love anyway. Give anyway. And do what's right. And so Ruth, by that one decision, by the help and grace of God, her destiny completely changes. And she goes back with her mother-in-law, and she begins to see God at work in some powerful ways, which brings me to faith over fear. Book of Hebrews, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And this is where the just lives by faith. You're driving down the road, make a left turn or a right turn, there's a lot that we don't have direct things for. Do you take this job? Do you take that job? Do you pursue this career? Do you marry this person? There's so many decisions that we have to search the scriptures and pray that he would show us either through direct command, and in the absence of that, by the Spirit and by his word at work in your life. And it requires faith over fear. Do you notice that Naomi, she was speaking greatly from fear? Just by a show of hands, who knows or have read this story? Just want to get a pulse on the room. Okay, most of you have actually read this story, and you know how it actually ends. How much did Ruth know about how, excuse me, not Ruth, Naomi know about how their story will end? Not much at all, right? I saw that sign, zero. Isn't it interesting that we can know so little about tomorrow but be so confident about how bad things can be? Isn't it? This is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and I know this is going to happen. And I'll just speak for me. There have been times where I just knew it was going to be this and turn around it was going to be that. Let me just say this is kind of hard. There have been some people in my life sometimes where I just knew this is a true and faithful friend. I'm like, wow, Judas has just shown up. And then others were like, oh, I couldn't trust him as far as I throw him. And that person have more integrity and character. May say things that hurt your feelings, but they're honest. And so we there's only one who is omniscient. One who is all-knowing, one who is sovereign, who not only owns all things, but he orders all things. And going back to Naomi, when we are in the midst of fear, when we are maybe treading water in difficult situations, when we have gone through maybe some serious hard times, watch out. God has not given us a spirit of fear, love, power, and a sound mind. Because it can trick us into thinking that, oh, it's going to be this, it's going to be this, it's going to be this, it's going to be this. And then I'll just speak for myself. Wow. I never thought in 2024, if I'd have went in the time machine back in 2000 and just 2000, I never thought I would be standing here today. There was a certain time I was thinking of moving back home. So I say all this to say, keep your faith in God. And as I'm walking with you through this, I'm walking with you in it too. I put my trust in the Lord. He's never failed me yet. So Ruth and Naomi head back home. And that too was an act of faith. Ruth, a Moabitess, going to a foreign land, never been there before. I trust Naomi. I don't know anybody else. I trust the God of Naomi. And they're walking together. And Naomi went out. She was wealthy, seemingly, did well. She said, I went out full. She's coming back in a humble state. Nothing like going back home when you're doing well, but when you go back home when you've done, or not done well, but have had troubles, that's very humbling. But yet God was working things out for them in a wonderful way. Which leads to my last point. God is sovereign over our circumstances. Sovereign over our circumstances. Verse 19. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem, house of bread. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the woman said, is this Naomi? And she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Let me talk to you about that. You may have noticed the name Naomi means pleasant, delightful. That's what Naomi means. She said, don't call me that anymore. Call me bitter. Call me Mara. And I'm putting you on the spot, but if you go through enough of a hard time, hard times can change a person. If you're not careful, that bitterness can creep in, and it's understandable. And yet God is wisely moving behind the scenes to bless Naomi. May I say, if you're going through a tough time, could it be that your God who loves you and loves me too is planning to bless you in a way beyond measure? That he loves you so much that on the other side of your pain is the greatest joy you'll ever know? Good to see you, brother. He's that good. He's the pearl of great price. He's the treasure. He's the lily of the valley. He's a friend like no other. Oh, what a good God we serve. I can testify that on the other side of many of my pains, I've come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I can eat my chicken and be happy. Isn't that right, Joe? That's my boy over there. You see me giggling around the house? And so Mara was the name that she was calling herself. God gave her a name already, Naomi. God is sovereign over circumstances. And just drawing back and bear with me, I won't be too long this morning. She says that the Lord witnessed against her and the Almighty afflicted her. But if you drop down in verse 22, they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And you have these little clues and scriptures of the timings of God. They left during a time of famine. They're coming back during a time of harvest. And some might say, maybe they should have stayed there and shouldn't have left. But we'll set that aside. Notice that God was going to give them what they needed right at the right time. The wisdom of God to orchestrate that their arrival would be not just for physical sustenance, but God was going to redeem them and use a man named Boaz to do it. The other thing is this. When you think of all the intricate events that would take place in this book for Ruth to become, little spoiler alert, married one day to Boaz, that had they come back before the barley harvest, Had they come back after it, then those connections and divine appointments would not have happened. But yet God in his wisdom orchestrated it at the right time, at the right place. And as we heard earlier, looking for a few good men, Ruth finds a good man in Boaz. God is sovereign over circumstances. So, if you're going to be making decisions in the dark, if you're going to have to make a call or decision, whether it be business or relational or financial or even just living your day-to-day life, may I invite you, as we have a focus on God, trust that he has a purpose even in your pain. He causes all things to work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to your purpose. So this point of purpose and pain, do you trust that he has a purpose in your pain? The book of Acts, it says, it was through the hands of evil men that Christ went to the cross. All of those people that conspired against Jesus, they were held accountable for what they did. Purpose and pain does not mean or excuse people's actions and their will, but yet God used them to bring about the greatest redemption of mankind through Jesus Christ. Do you trust that God has a purpose in your pain? Then also, God calls us to selflessness over selfishness. Jesus says, if any man desires to follow me, let him deny himself. That's a daily death. Take up his cross and follow me. If anyone loves his life, they'll lose it. But if they lose their life for his sake, you'll find it. Have you responded to the call of selflessness? That's a call we have to answer every day. And it'll affect how you view people and also how you serve your God. Thirdly, God requires us to have faith over fear, that we would listen to the Spirit of God, we would go by the Word of God and not let a spirit of fear to drive us to make decisions confidently based off of what we think and feel versus what God has said and done. Do you see the difference? And so he requires faith over fear. And then lastly, as I invite the worship team to come up, God is sovereign over circumstances. Do you trust in the providence of God for him to be sovereign over the details of your life? And so as we take this first step with Ruth, Ruth trusted God. Orpah, not so much. And her story just went from the pages of Scripture. But yet Ruth were blessed because of her faithfulness to the Lord, Naomi's faithfulness to follow God even in her pain, and later we'll see God's faithfulness through Boaz. Thank you, Jesus, for being the bread of life. Thank you, Jesus, for being our all in all and the sweetness to know you as our Lord and Savior. And so for your people here in this room, maybe those streaming in, those who may be here for the first time, may this be the day to draw closer to you. We ask your blessings, all for your name's sake and glory, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.